You know, part of Microsoft's success is that we don't underestimate the importance of the work that other companies are doing.
That is the voice of Microsoft founder Bill Gates. And on today's Super U podcast, he'll be giving us 7 super tips.
I'm Al Roker. I'm here with Equal Man.
We've had to believe in impossible
things. One small step for man.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
You can't handle the truth.
I have a dream.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Super
U. Welcome to the Super U podcast. The podcast designed to entertain, educate, and empower you to your best life. Or simply put, a podcast for those looking to unlock and unleash your superpowers on the world. I'm your host, Eric Qualman, but many of you know me as Equal Man. I've been blessed to write 6 best-selling books, perform in over 50 countries, and reach 25 million people this decade. So thank you for listening, and thank you for your support. Along the way, I've been blessed to have personally met or been introduced to some of the world's top performers. Today, we'll be joined by one of the richest men in the world. That's right, Microsoft founder Bill Gates. And he'll be giving us 7 super tips for success, starting with tip number 1.
Everyone has to decide what scale of organization they want to work in. Eventually, you know, my role was very much as a leader and a reviewer of managers, but the top people, and I hired some super experienced people, I would make sure they were pursuing a common vision and they were well coordinated. But in terms of a lot of management stuff, they were way better than I was. Now, I had to have the framework to know what mix of skills that we needed and, you know, when they were working well enough together. But a lot of, my value added was picking, say, to do graphics user interface or to do an integrated office type thing or to go global and not use agents to have Microsoft be present all over the world. And so, yeah, picking what you're good at and how you find the other people to fill in those things, that's super important. And most founders aren't able to scale that up and kind of give up the hands-on things that they used to get a lot of pleasure and comfort from.
Gates does a good job reminding us that periodically we should sit down and really write down what do we derive joy from, what do we like to do, and more often than not, that aligns with our strengths. And if you're not good at self-awareness, it also helps to ask other people, where are you strongest? And hopefully, where you derive joy and where you are strong are one and the same. Sometimes they're not, but more often they are. So it's just a good reminder from Gates for us to periodically stop. And maybe you do that today. You're out there listening. Maybe you do that today is that you sit down and just write out, what do you like to do the most? Or at the end of today, just write down, what did you enjoy the most throughout the day, during that workday, whatever you're working on, where did you derive the most joy, and how do you make sure that you're doing more and more of that, and where you can allow others to do the stuff that maybe you're not as good at, or maybe you're as good at it, but you just don't enjoy it. Speaking of optimism, tip number 2 just may be my favorite.
In dire situations, optimism fuels innovation and leads to new approaches that eliminate suffering. But if you never really see the people who are suffering, your optimism can't help them. You will never change their world. And that brings me to what I see as a paradox. The modern world is an incredible source of innovation. And Stanford stands at the center of that, creating new companies, new schools of thought, prize-winning professors, inspired art and literature, miracle drugs, and amazing graduates. Whether you're a scientist with a new discovery or working in the trenches to understand the needs of the most marginalized, you're advancing amazing breakthroughs in what human beings can do for each other. At the same time, if you ask people across the United States, is the future going to be better than the past? Most say no. My kids will be worse off than I am. They think innovation won't make the world better for them or their children. So who's right? The people who say innovation will create new possibilities and make the world better? Or the people who see a trend toward inequality and a decline in opportunity and don't think innovation will change that? The pessimists are wrong, in my view. But they're not crazy. If innovation is purely market-driven and we don't focus on the big inequities, then we could have amazing advances and inventions that leave the world even more divided. We won't improve public schools. We won't cure malaria. We won't end poverty. We won't develop the innovations poor farmers need to grow food in a changing climate. If our optimism doesn't address the problems that affect so many of our fellow human beings, then our optimism needs more empathy. If empathy channels our optimism, we will see the poverty and the disease and the poor schools. We will answer with our innovations, and we will surprise the pessimists.
Optimism fuels innovation. I was in a meeting recently with a CEO, and he said something that I'm going to use the rest of my life. Is he said, some people see the glass as half empty, and some see the glass as half full. Well, I see it 100% full. It's half full with water and half full with oxygen. So I love that approach. And this is one of the most innovative CEOs in the world. So I love that quote. I'm going to use it. Another thing I want to wrap here, which might seem like a non sequitur, is most of the companies that I run into, one of their top challenges right now is getting top talent. And so I always like to reference to them, well, the reason you're struggling with Gen Y and Gen Z is you always need to go back to your why. Not your Simon Sinek why, but your why in terms of WHI. W meaning what's your mission? What's the mission of the company? Two is H, how do we differ from the competition? And then three, this is the most important thing, and this is what Gates was alluding to, is I. If we went away tomorrow, what's the loss to the community? What's the loss to society? That really resonates with Gen Y and Gen Z. They want to know that where they're working is mission-based. And so what's that loss to society or community if they don't execute on that innovation? So agree 100%. You can't have innovation without optimism. That's why we live in this blue sky era, the blue sky age, that if we can dream it, we can do it. Here's tip number three from the man that read the entire World Book Encyclopedia series during his teenage years, which, interesting enough, Elon Musk did the exact same thing. And for those wondering what I was reading during that time, I was reading the back of Captain Crunch cereal boxes.
You know, part of Microsoft's success is that we don't underestimate the importance of the work that other companies are doing. And so we look out, we think, are there aspects of that are best practices? For example, online support, some of the community things that are done around Linux are done very well. So we're thinking about it, making sure that our innovation will make sure that our value and our leadership stays in front.
It's important to realize that all of us need to stay a year ahead of our competition, but we also got to make sure that we're not a year ahead of our market, meaning that we're not bleeding edge, that we're cutting edge, that our market can digest it, that our consumers are ready for that product. Here's tip number four from the man who surprisingly has a very high vertical jump. We're not talking Spud Webb here, but it is a very high jump. So if you get the chance, Google Connie Chung, Bill Gates chair jump, and you'll be impressed.
I'm a weird dropout because I take college courses all the time. I love learning company courses and things. So I love being a student. And there were smart people around, and you know, they fed you, and they gave you these nice grades that made you feel smart. So I feel it was unfortunate that I didn't get to stay there. But I don't think I missed any knowledge because, you know, whatever I needed to learn, I was still in a learning mode.
We are so blessed to be living in the age that we are living in. It's the best time ever to be a human being on this planet. Yes, it's hyper-connected. Yes, it can be super stressful. But think about when you're having a bad day. Think about if you had to live back in the medieval times. Just think about the poor hygiene that was going on back then. In today's world, from a learning perspective, we can be lifelong learners. The amount of information, we can't consume it all, that's out there. It's just amazing. So it's all about being a lifelong learner. Speaking of learning, Gates scored a near perfect 1590 out of 1600 on his SATs. Wouldn't we like to know what question it was that he missed? Here is tip number four.
Well, nerd means a lot of things. I'm somebody who can sit and read a book about science for hours on end, and you know, I don't mind being labeled as somebody who finds that interesting. When you have the level of success that we've had, when you have a business that's important as this with this many competitors, you're going to have people saying some nasty things, and so you have to learn a little bit not to take it too personally.
Just be mindful that the beautiful thing about living in today's world is that the moniker nerd is actually cool. It's actually cool to be called a nerd. But back when Gates was growing up, that was the opposite of cool.
Nerds! 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 Nerds!
But to Gates' point, it's all about we can't control what people say about us, but we can control how we react to it. So don't take it personally. Interesting enough, going deeper on that, Gates used to memorize employees' license plates to keep tabs on their comings and goings. Eventually, he realized I had to loosen up as a company got to a reasonable size, he said. So he'd probably take it personable if someone was coming in late or leaving early. And then he realized, wait, I can't take this personal. I got to loosen up. I've got to let it go. Think about something that you're holding on to personally. Maybe you're taking offense to something and you're taking it too personal. Just think that through in your mind right now, what that is, and just try to let it go. It reminds me of when I was playing basketball at Michigan State University. The coach at Indiana University was Bobby Knight. He was very hot-tempered. He's one of the best coaches of all time, but he had quite a temper and quite a mouth, used a lot of four-letter words. And one of the players there told me, well, I got some good advice when I was a freshman from one of the seniors. And the senior said, when he's yelling at you, don't listen at all the cuss words and the profanity and also the heat of the exchange. Listen to why he's yelling at you, not how he's yelling at you, but why he is yelling at you. And that stuck in my mind. I think it's a good way to go through life is just try to distill out the crucial information. Don't take items personally. It's hard to do, but try to let go of that thing that you're holding on to today. Did you know that Bill Gates in high school, once his school discovered Gates' coding abilities, they let him write the school's computer program for scheduling students in classes? Gates slyly altered the code, so he was placed in classes with a disproportionate number of attractive girls.
I think there's two models, two ways that we're going to get more of the brightest minds focused on the important problems. One is that we'll get more people to take on these problems in their full-time work. Now, that'll be a minority. You know, maybe we'll get that from 3% up to 10%. And it doesn't mean just going to work for nonprofits. You can go to work in businesses that are willing to apply some of their resources to these things. In fact, some of the most innovative work is being done by large and small businesses that are focusing on these things. So that's the full-time approach. And the more people who do that, the better. And as you say, I did not do that. So those people get an A. And there's a second model, which is that you're pursuing something, and hopefully your full-time work is socially beneficial, but you know maybe not in the extreme that these particular problems are focused on. But in terms of your donating time, your political voice, some of your donations, and perhaps as you get later in your career and you have extra time, like I was lucky enough to do, then even more of your time being given to those things. And so if we can get from, say, 20% of people who follow that model to, say, 60% of people follow that model, that actually in absolute will be a greater impact than even the full-time piece. Per person, the full-time piece is the big win. But you know, in Warren's case, he's decided to continue doing what he likes to do, and he's delegated the actual time in terms of who the money should go to our foundation. And I think that's, you know, an absolutely great model. I think Warren could apply himself to these problems, but you know, he figures that he'll use this delegation thing that he's very good at in all of his work to make sure that it gets done. So it's very fair to say there are different models, and the just spend your life on these problems model won't be the path that a super high percentage will take.
Despite Gates' immense wealth, Gates has always indicated he's only going to leave a tiny fraction of his money to his children because he believes that leaving kids massive amounts of money is not a favor to them. And I've heard that from a lot of successful people. It's something that I agree 100% with. Do not deprive your children of hard work. So don't even wait till you're wealth and don't wait till you're passed away. Start doing it today. For example, if you make breakfast for your kid, certain days don't make breakfast for your kid. Don't deprive the kid of the satisfaction of making their own breakfast, meaning don't deprive them of hard work. Wrapping things up with tip number 7.
When I make a mistake, you know, and my thinking is sloppy, I like to be very hard on myself. Like, that is so stupid. How could you not see how those pieces fit together? And that way that you're, you know, very disciplined yourself and careful about your thinking, you don't want it to extend out to when other people may not get something quite as quickly. It's like, oh, you know, how come you don't get this thing?
I love this tip because it's something I've been trying to practice this year. It's trading in your expectations for appreciation, meaning that people shouldn't do things the way that you do them. Everyone's different. So just appreciate that they're actually doing it. Now, you definitely want them to hit the standard because that's fair to everybody on the team. But again, trade your expectation, they're going to do it differently, into appreciation. Here's a summary of today's 7 super tips from Bill Gates, and I will tell you which one was my favorite. Number 1, surround yourself with people you work well with. Number 2, optimism fuels innovation. Number 3, never underestimate your competition. Number 4, always have the desire to learn. Number 5, don't take things personally. Number 6, take the full-time approach. And number 7, don't be hard on others. My favorite's number 5, especially as entrepreneurs. Your business is so tied often to your personality and also to your family life, especially when you're starting out. And whether you're an entrepreneur or whether you're working for a big company, it often is tied to your business and personal life. So it's easy for you to take things personally at work. So the key is to kind of remove that. And I need to remind myself of that every day. That's it for today's Super You podcast. Join us next time. We're going to have another Seattle homeowner and a person that's running for the president, possibly running for the president of the United States, Starbucks founder and chairman, Mr. Howard Schultz.
I feel as if people need to understand that success is not an entitlement. It has to be earned and earned every day.
These tips from today's top thought leaders are a fantastic reminder to all of us that it's not about being perfect, it's about being the perfect you. Thank you for listening to today's Super You podcast. I'm your host, Eric Qualman. Most of you know me as Equal Man. And until next time, remember, it's not what we take from the world, it's what we leave behind.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3. 2.
1.
Super, 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 super.
Super You.